So this morning's scripture is Matthew 3, and it begins with 13, the baptism of Jesus, and goes to 17. And I'll be in the New Living Translation this morning. And so if you do have your Bibles and you're following along, that's great. And if you don't, hang on for the ride. So here we go. Okay? Beginning with 13, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, John said. So why are you coming to me? He asked. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires of us. So John agreed to baptize Jesus. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. This is the infallible Word of God. Thanks be to God. So again, I've welcomed you this morning, and I certainly, on behalf of both Pines and Bethel, we are overjoyed that you are here. We have chosen to worship with us together today. This is our second river baptism. We were located here our first time, and we were back here again this year. And the campground is wonderful to work with, and we are just we're beyond words that you are with us today. And so we just thank you for your presence this morning in worship. And on behalf of both sessions, Bethel and Pines, I welcome all of you here. What I want to share with you this morning about these very special people that make up the leadership of these two congregations before we kind of get into the message. I'm overjoyed to be your shepherd. I'm overjoyed to, however long this ride exists for me in these two churches, I'm overjoyed to share God's gospel with you. And I will tell you, without the support of both of my sessions, none of my crazy ideas, like joint worships, outreach plus outreach equals new discipleship, would ever materialize. Everything I ask of these leaders in this church, everything I ask of the memberships in these churches, they make happen. And they make it look easy. I'm not for sure how, but they do. If you serve as an officer or a member on the worship committee of these two wonderful churches, if you serve in these churches in any function where I pick your brain and task you daily, I ask you this morning to please stand. Friends, these are Christian brothers and sisters who make God's work happen. And without them, I would be lost. So thank you very much. I wanted to acknowledge you guys, because without your support, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have done this last year. And this, again, is a very, very special service for us all. Since today is Baptism Sunday for both churches, I thought it might be a good idea to take a look at the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to John the Baptist, John said, we're doing all this wrong, boss. I should be the one being baptized by you and not you by me. But Jesus told him something very important. He said, you need to baptize me. Basically, John was saying, I'm going to baptize you in the water, but you really should baptize me sort of like in the fire. And Jesus said, John, do this now because it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. I need you to baptize me and to fulfill this righteousness. The question that comes out of this particular baptism is, why did Jesus get baptized? Let's face it, he's God. What did he need to be baptized for? And what was significant that it was so essential for him to do it, perhaps with John or perhaps in that location? Jesus identifies with us. People were coming to John that day to repent of their sins because of their weakness in flesh. And thus they were being baptized. Jesus, who knew no sin, was baptized to identify himself as the Son of Man. And this is really important. He was 100% God and 100% man. And in this story, I believe this is yet another example in Scripture of Jesus walking with me and you, living like you and I do, being the true God, the true only God of man, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our weakness. You see, he knew what human weakness looked like. He felt it. Even though he was God, he can relate to our weaknesses as human beings because he was fully man at this moment in time. He feels what you and I feel. He knows sorrow. He understands rejection. He understands loneliness. He felt pain, and he knew what suffering looked like. Jesus understood and understands our nature as human beings, our inclination to sin, our temptations and the battles with the flesh, just simply being human. He knows we're not perfect. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. And that's our God. That's the Jesus that you and I serve every day. You know I love stories, so here comes a story. Several months ago, I had a friend come to me, and I could tell he was somewhat troubled. To keep his name private, we'll call him Clint. He doesn't even look like a Clint, but I put him as Clint in the service. I said, "Clint, are you okay?" He said, "Derek, I am really struggling on some things, and I'm sure what I am going to tell you will shock you. Because you probably don't struggle with anything like I do, because you are grounded in your faith and you're a man of God." I said, "Clint, let me stop you right there. We're going to push the pause button on this. Before you go any further, let's clear this muddy water that you've tried to establish as we get into this conversation. I want you to know something. As a man, as a husband, as a Christian, as a father, as a human being, I struggle every day to put my right foot in front of my left foot. Every day. It is through my struggles. It is through my pain. It is through the love that I am surrounded by, through my friendships and my associations, both professional and personal. It is through those relationships and all the things that I see and touch where I see and feel the Lord our God. And it is through my struggles that I serve in the capacity that I do for my churches. So let me be clear. At that moment in time in this discussion, Clint and I opened the door to Jesus to enter into our weakness together. And I told him if I couldn't struggle, if I didn't struggle, I couldn't serve on the other side of this conversation. You see, I had to relate to what he was saying. Now, maybe what he said did shock me, but that's no point. The point is that we had a discussion in two Christian men who were sharing in their weaknesses, and we were on level playing ground. And because I understood struggle, I could relate. Friends, this is the Christ. This is the God in Jesus Christ that we serve. You see, we came to the door on a level of weakness, and God answered. You see, we surrendered to our Lord in that discussion, before we ever begin, it was Christ giving the advice that day. It wasn't Derek Amarode, and it wasn't Clint. It was Jesus who was entered into that conversation that allowed us to be open with one another and to share in our struggles. Friends, baptism is an act of surrendering and reaffirming our lives to God. For Jesus to be the example for us all to follow, it was necessary for Jesus to be baptized by John in the river. It had to be done. Jesus knew it. And John, just like you guys, just like me, was reluctant when Jesus approached him. He said, hold on. We can't go down this road. But it was yet Jesus who reaffirmed that John could carry this out. And this is truly, truly important. Jesus was offering his life to the will of the Father, to God himself. It may be to some just a symbolic gesture to be baptized. But make no mistake here today. It is a step of faith that you die to yourself in burial in this life. And you are alive as you are baptized in new resurrection. And if we look at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, we actually see it. And I'll talk about that in a second. You see, God recognized this from heaven by declaring to everyone that could hear his words through the clouds and to the heavens above that my Son, in whom I am pleased, has been baptized. God declared that through his voice. You see, as we are saved and confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, the next step in our faith journey is a profession and an obedience to the will of God. Just like Jesus did. He surrendered himself to the will of the Father that day to be baptized by John the Baptist. That's what you and I have to do. I say this just to say, this is kind of how the world is today, but today we live in a society that preaches the first step but leaves all that second part out. You get baptized and then you're good, right? You're washed. You're clean. But then it leaves a very important part out, which is the second part. The second part is the will of God becomes our life, and Jesus becomes our profession of faith. Everything we do in service of him and for him in this kingdom. When Jesus went in the water that day, he gave a preview for everyone else to see that was being placed in the water that day. Jesus was baptized in the water that day to show an act of repentance. But when Jesus went down in the water and was raised up, he was inspiring each of you, each and me included, each of us, with the hope and the belief of what's to come. He was giving you a sneak preview of what was going to happen 3 years later. Jesus gave us a real-life dramatization of what he would do in reality at the cross and again at the tomb. I don't know how many standing there, whether they realized it or not, they were standing in the river with Jesus that day, what full impact Jesus was doing, or had on them at that very moment. But it is quite clear that the water of baptism of Jesus was the announcement to the world that the Messiah had come, and he will not only defeat sin and cure and heal sickness, but he will defeat death, he will defeat hell, and he will defeat the grave. Jesus gave us an insight going in that water that day of what was to come, and that is the hope and the love that you and I share every day as Christians and brothers and sisters in his ministry. On that day when Jesus was baptized, Jesus' ministry was introduced to the world. Truly introduced to the world. It changed John's name to John the Baptist. Jesus was no longer going to be a carpenter at that very moment. When he went in that water, he was a human being and a carpenter. When he came up, he was now going to be the engineer that builds a kingdom that will never end. And today, we celebrate that kingdom together. This was his start, and today, it can be yours. I think this is so important for everyone who is baptized in water to understand this significance. It is the announcement that you belong to Christ Jesus, and your discipleship and your personal ministry is in service to Him. Jesus starts from the point of water. Baptism is an identification card for me and you. You are identified as Christ's child when you are baptized. Friends, as the dove in Scripture read this morning descended on Christ Jesus, this was the fulfilling of John's prophecy and his prophetic word that Jesus was to be the baptizer in the Holy Spirit from this day forward. This was a new day of anointing, greater than all the anointings before. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had been baptized. Jesus would be the one who would pour out the Spirit onto all the flesh like me and you. Today, as we join at the water's edge, may everyone repent of their sins, profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and refresh yourselves in the cleansing power of the water, moving into a personal ministry with Christ Jesus Himself, and re-energizing yourselves in your lives by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You see, you have a gift. It's now time to share it. It's now time to declare it, affirm it, reaffirm it, and share God's gospel. This is a beautiful day, like no other, really. But is tomorrow possible? If it's not, we have to be right today. Jesus said, and I leave you with this thought. Jesus said, "Greater works shall you do because I ascend to the Father." This is three some years later. This anointing for the church was to be so strong and so powerful that the gospel would be preached in all of the world before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So hear these final words. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Let it go today. God has given you a spirit of power and one which holds the capacity of love, compassion, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. You each have it in your possession. And He's done it, and He's given it to you with a sound mind and a whole body in full. Today, let your service from this moment forward be in the service of Christ Jesus, in the ministry of the engineer who created the kingdom that will take us all to heaven. Amen.